Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
There is an empty chair at the Knights Round Table, one that can't be filled. Even though it's empty, it is still occupied. Joan Kramer died this past Wednesday. She lost her battle with cancer. And even though it was, on my part at least, to be expected, it still turned out to be an overwhelming shock. When I got the word, I've been numb pretty much ever since. Immediately thought we needed to do this show that we're now getting ready to do, but didn't know quite what to do, how to do it. It's been a rough 4 or 5 days for us here. I'm speaking not only of myself, but for Joe and for Deborah. We just weren't prepared for it, and I don't know what I'm going to do for this next 45 minutes, an hour. If you got our promotion, you know that we strongly invited people who knew Joan, who cared about Joan, to call in today and share their favorite story about Joan, or favorite conversation, or what it was about Joan that made her important to them, and hope you will do so. In case you need it, the call-in number is 1-888-6008. I'll repeat, it's 1-888 627-6008. If you call in, it can be as brief as 30 seconds, 1 minute, no more than maybe 2 minutes or 3 minutes. It would just be a show of how much you thought of Joan and how you would like to have something to say during this tribute to her show. So, that's what... Okay, we have our first caller, Ruth and Anita. Are you there, Ruth?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for calling in. And Anita, I don't know if you and I have met, but I thank you as well. Do you have a story or a comment, Ruth, for Joan?
I just want to know that since I learned of her passing on Wednesday, it's been really hard, and I've been saddened because we used to connect almost every day. I always say she's the first one that would click like to any post I made. And she always has some of the best comments. And I don't know. I am feeling really sad about it. I wish I had the opportunity to connect with her before she passed. and just listen one more time to her wonderful voice and some of the wonderful words that she always had for me. And just at the end, I'll say, she was one of the few Anglo friends I have that would respond when I posted in Spanish, so her Spanish was good. She was great. I love her, and I'm going to miss her.
We all love her, and we're all going to miss her. And I know, yes, that you and she were in frequent conversations. You know that Joan and I were very, very close. I'll elaborate a little bit more on this later. But thank you so very much for calling in. We appreciate it here, and I know Joan is smiling somewhere. Okay, thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
Okay, we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
And you are?
Anita.
Hi, Anita. Again, thank you for calling. You would like to share your story, your Joan story with us?
Well, Joan was just such a mentor to me. I learned so much about being socially conscious from her. She just opened up my eyes to so much that was wrong, and she was such a teacher, and it was amazing to me. If I made a comment on Facebook, she would say, "Oh, Anita, you're so smart." And I said, "No, Joan, I learned it from you." She says, no, it's you. I said, "No, Joan, it was you. That's you speaking. You taught me everything." She always had wonderful things to say, and she was such a wonderful friend to all of the librarians in the Los Angeles Unified School District. She helped us so much in so many ways do our job and help us fight the bad boys, or guys now, not even boys. And she is just going to be missed so much. I don't know how we're going to survive without her, except just reading her past emails and posts from Facebook, because she was just wonderful. And we are just, this is such a loss, such a terrible loss. Yeah, that's what I have to say.
Before you go, what you just said pretty much echo what we said here on the War Report. Our first comment to each other, Joe and I, was how are we going to go on without her?
Right.
And you just echoed that same thing. And
absolutely,
she was all those things that you mentioned that she did for you in terms of being a mentor, to being the voice, also voice sometimes of reason when I'm maybe considered by some unreasonable. She was always that, that steady voice behind the scene for me and all. And she's going to be missed so much. And
absolutely,
my little intro when I talked about the empty chair at the round table, I said there's more I'm going to say about that, but I'll share this with you. It's a chair that can't be filled.
Sure.
That can't be occupied, because her presence will always be with us around the round nice round table. And let me, if you got a minute, stay with me. Let me explain the round table. Every year, February, we started this show in February 2014, at the very end of the month. And every year thereafter, or the last week in February, we've done like an assessment of the year. How did we do as a show? How did I do as the host who's trying to communicate and give messages and et cetera? And Joan was always part of that evaluation. Joan and I have been close friends. In fact, we call ourselves family for the better part of 3 years. And that the assessment that we would do, I named this past February, I told everyone that Joan, Deborah, and Joe were my knights in shiny armor, and that we have, they're at the round table, the knights round table, and that's where that expression came from me, in terms of there were the knights who helped keep the show alive. They were the knights who protected me from those people who didn't particularly like what I had to say or been saying or what have you. They were my knights. They were my protectors. And Joan was essential to that. And when I say there's an empty chair at the table, obviously, I'm referring to Joan, and that her seat will always remain empty, but at the same time, it will be occupied by her, because her presence will always be with us. So just a little explanation of what I said and what I meant and how it relates to Joan.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you so very much for calling. And
you're
I'm
welcome.
Sure.
Thank you for having
Joan,
me.
Okay, thank you. We have another person. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Linda.
Yes.
Where are you calling
Hi.
From?
I live in Hollywood, and I've been friends, or I was friends with Joan just for a few years, and I didn't even know she was part of this radio show. But I remember meeting you when we had a little rally in front of Eli Broad.
The Broad Foundation. In front
remember
of the Broad
that?
Foundation. Yes, I do.
Yes.
I remember you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I love Joan. She was just a wonderful person, always making me feel so important.
I know. It's very hard.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry, because I have shed some tears myself every single day, including today. This was, for me, the hardest show I have ever had to put together. Without a single doubt, this, and I told Joe so many times since Wednesday, this is the hardest show I will probably ever have to do. I don't know whether or not I can do it. I want it to be my best ever show, because it's about Joan, and I know what you're feeling. I've got tears in my eyes now. So we share that. And I'm so glad that you called, because I thought about you earlier today. That,
really?
Yes, I did. I told Joe earlier today that I've only met Joan once, and it was at a protest demonstration at the Eli Broad Foundation. And I remember you very, very well, and that you and Joan were going to go over to another school. I don't remember the name of it there, and how I talked to both of you right after the demonstration. I talked to Joan, of course, while doing the demonstration, but I talked to you as well. I didn't remember your name, and I'm so glad that you called and was able to refresh me on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having this show, you know, and to honor her, because she was just always fighting for our kids. And speaking at the board and going to all these rallies, and even at the end, you know, when she couldn't really go out so much, she attended the last rally at the City Hall with her husband, and I put a picture of them on Facebook. Oh, John was very, very special to me. Very special. Even when I didn't really know her for a long, long time, I have beautiful memories of her, and I'll never forget her. You know, I even put her picture on my computer screen, and she's looking at me with that big smile. And I took that picture when we went to lunch to a closed restaurant here. She loved it. And, thank you so much for taking my call. Thank you.
Oh, and wouldn't miss it for the world. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now. We have another caller, Deborah.
Yes, James. I'm so shocked by this news when you contacted me this week, and I know how much of a rock that Joan Kramer was to you and to Joe and to me. I had never met her in person, but she had an ever presence at the War Report that I will never forget. And you're right. That chair will never be filled.
Yep. And, you know, as you and I and Joe have expressed in the last few days, it's just the three of us now. But Joan will always be present. She will always be the fourth person at the round table. And that said just a moment ago, it's a chair that's empty, but yet still so occupied. It's a chair that's empty that will never be filled by anyone other than Joan, as long as we have the round table. And people, if you don't remember Deborah and I have been together ever since December 2013. When I talked to her about I was interested in starting a radio talk show, and she was a person at BBS Radio that I needed to talk to, and that initial conversation brought us together. She believed in the idea, the concept. She believed in the person who was going to do it, and she went way beyond the call of duty and helping me get the show together and on the air and keeping it on the air. She was my first night, and she's been at the round table ever since. And whenever I do my show on the last week of February and I give a tribute to the night, I always start out by saying what Deborah has meant to me and the War Report, because she was there when we first started. And like all the other nights, we are family. And Deborah, you're so right. It's still a shock. I know you were shocked. I'm still in shock. And she will be missed forever.
Absolutely. And James, I know you and you know me, and we've both been touched by cancer. And it's always, I guess, the passing of Joan has brought up this existential question in my mind, why some people keep their lives and why some people lose them. And it's probably a question that's never going to be answered, but I do struggle with it. And I respect her battle.
Yes, and hers was a Herculean battle because she had two cancers, and neither of which were diagnosed until the very, very late stages. People, if you know people who have had cancer, if you have it in your experience or what have you, stage four is basically the terminal stage, and her cancer wasn't found until she was stage four. and to battle as long as she did and as successful as she was in the early stages of her battle is just incredible and a very strong testament to her that she never gave up. She was optimistic, and she was planning to do things now, next week, next month, next year, and, well, she's gone. Deborah, thank you so very much. I mean, I knew you were going to call in. All the knights are calling in. I have no idea what I'm doing at the moment. It's almost
you're doing
like
great,
a body experience. You sound just like Joan. When I would say, and I'm going to talk about this a little later on, when I would say, I blew it, this was a bad show, what have you, she would write and she would always tell me, it was a great show. You could never do a bad show. And I'm going like, see, that's only what a family would do. When you just crapped all over everything, she would say, oh, no, you didn't. You know that you did, but she would always be there saying, no, this was a great show. So you sound just like her, which is very much true. You know that. I've said this to you.
Yes.
You, she, and Joe are almost, I'm going to say identical in your style, personality, but your caring and your support and the way in which you have all adopted me as family and what have you. So you sound just like her. So,
well, that's great. And you know how much I, you know, when you do have a bad show or you think you do, I always think it's your best. I don't understand it.
You and Joan. Even Joe, because I always like that. Okay, now, I can't believe them because they're family and they're always going to be there to support me. I crapped. I got craps on this one. But anyway, that's how we roll at the War Report and at the round table. I don't know if you can, you know, hang around any longer, but if you can, stay on the line and comment as we go. If not, there's another person who I think hopefully is still on the line. But I hope you can stay, Deborah. You're always a comfort when you come on. Okay.
Yes, I can stay, James. I'll be here.
Okay. As a caller, are you still there?
No other callers.
Okay. We lost that other caller. Let me tell you, I've got a couple stories that I want to tell. I call my trilogy of, that there was three stories. One is the origin story, how Joan and I sort of met and how our friendship developed and how it eventually evolved into us declaring that we were family and all. As I said earlier, Deborah and I met by phone. I've never met Deborah. She was about 1,000 miles away from me in Northern California in December 2013. Got the show ready to come on the air for last week in February, as I said a moment ago. So for March, April, and May, during the show, in May, I was invited to join a Facebook group. I knew nothing about Facebook. Deborah had put me on Facebook and all the other social media outlets. She knew I wasn't interested, but she knew that needed to be on Facebook in order to make people aware of the show in terms of the largest possible audience that we could get. And so she puts me on Facebook. And so I'm on Facebook, and there's a group. It was a large group that was kind of new. I think they'd only been together maybe as a huge group for a few months of teachers across the country. And I get an invite to join the group. I still have no idea what invite me, and I go back and say, well, I used to teach, but I'm no longer teaching now, and I didn't think that I would be eligible. And, oh, no, you can be eligible. So I joined the group, and shortly after I did, there was a very important law case here in California dealing with the Vergara case, dealing with a threat to teachers' tenure. And so I was going to do a show. I mean, I did a show on that case, and I invited people from this new group that I was a part of, especially those in California. And, of course, I was in California at the time, to be on the show. And so I did the show. I think I did a second part of the show. This was in May. I'm pretty sure it was in the month of May 2014. Well, shortly thereafter, weeks, months, what have you, the group that had invited me to join them, it's sort of like they didn't implode. There was what I call a coup. There was a coup. And a lot of the people were banned from the group and what have you. And somehow, and I don't remember exactly, I wasn't involved in any of that and didn't quite understand what was going on, but it came about that those people who were banned, they were truly banned. And no one was to mention them, no one was to do anything about them in the group. And I'm doing the war report, and I'm not adhering to that practice. And as a result, I become persona non grata. And whenever we would send out our promotion for the show, if anyone in that group, anywhere in the country, would put up our promotion, it would come down within seconds, if not a few minutes. I mean, literally, it would come down faster than the amount of time it took to put it up. Well, there was one person who would put up our promotion and basically was daring anyone to take it down. That person was Joan. I had not... Okay, I understand we've got several people in line to call, to talk. Let me just finish this quickly, and then we'll get to those calls. But anyway, I had not met Joan. We had some communication. We're both in Los Angeles, to be exact, and we were very respectful of each other, and we liked each other. But when the band came and she defied the band, she told me, she says, I am my own person. I love the show. I love you. You are a voice that we need so desperately. And I will always, always support you. I will always be one of your big supporters. That was the beginning of a 3-year-plus relationship that grew exponentially every day. She got the name, and you've heard me mention it before. She's my rock. And I'll explain that a little bit more, but we have some callers. Let's have the first caller that's in line, please. Hi, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
You are?
My name's Zoe.
Okay. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia, and I don't know what to say. Like, Joan, she taught me how to be a sensible radical, if that makes sense, through my poetry.
Absolutely, man, because she had to do the same to me.
Yeah, or sensible anarchist, you know, through Facebook. Mm-hmm. And even though I have a negative attitude and a problem with social norms, her aura and warmth of love always came through to the point where I wrote something how every revolution is because of love and is made out of love. And I remember her tagging me and Joe Leb, and I just remember that, and just how she would check up on me and see how I was doing, and just, I don't know, her aura is too strong for a computer. And I had to bite my tongue because I said, you can't get to know me through a computer. No one can. No one can. And then this happened, and I was like, she knew me. And I knew her, and I'm very blessed for that.
Yes, I know what you're saying, sir. Because as I said, you know, I consider myself to be radical, and she was my rock, as I just mentioned, and I always knew that whatever I did, she would be there and be the supporter
yeah.
that she was. She's an incredible person. Thank you for calling in, and I hope you continue to listen to the show.
No problem.
I'm told that we have a lot of people now lining up to speak, and I want everyone to hear what each other have to say. Thank you, sir, very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Next caller, please. Hello? Oh, I guess we lost that person. Okay, we have, was it Lori? Are you there, Lori?
She must have dropped.
Okay. Any other callers in line?
None at this time.
Okay. Lori, we somehow either she couldn't wait enough or we dropped her somehow. But anyway, let me go back to the origin story. That was a time, again, we'd only been on the air just a few months, and I, and me being me, I was explaining to people that it was a war. And no one was talking about it as a war but me. People were saying such thing as an assault, an attack, and what have you. And I'm saying, no, folks, this is a flat-out war. And like all wars, the objective is to decimate your enemy. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be a very easy prey because you will not defend yourself. You will not resist. You would be easy pickings. A lot of people didn't like that. And then I also talked about what I consider to be the total abject failure of the unions, the teachers' unions, for not providing leadership, to not become the generals, the commanders of raising an army to resist. And how that failure, in my opinion, had put us where we were at the time in 2014, a very desperate situation for us, and being so far behind and trying to just even understand what was going on. Those kinds of remarks from me caused a lot of people to call me anti-union, which was the furthest from the truth. As the person I just spoke to, I always call myself a union baby. My father was in the union, automobile union, in Detroit for 35, 36, 70 years or so. And my family owes so much to him being able to get in the union at a time when unions did not let black folks into the union. And so I am probably one of the strongest supporters of good unions that protect and look out for their membership and who do not compromise and cave in to the opposition at the expense of their leadership. And Joan understood that. And she appreciated me for that. And that was part of her taking the stance that she took, that she was her own person and that she was standing with me regardless of what other people thought of me, my positions, and whatever the consequences may be for her standing with me. Going back to the show that we did, actually it was the first week in March this year because we did a four-part series on Black History Month, but that first week in March when we did the assessment show, I gave tribute, as I have always done, to Deborah, to Joan, and to Joe. And I also laid out, there were three songs that, to me, express my feelings for each of the night and for the collectivity of the night. And if you guys were around then, you remember, one of the songs was Stand By Me by David and his brother Jimmy Ruffin, their version of a classic, Stand By Me. What I didn't say is that that particular song was my Joan song, Stand By Me, because she stood by me at the very beginning of the history of this show and me as its host when there were a lot of people who didn't like me and or the show, and some people who did like me in the show paid the price for it. She stood by me and has always stood by me throughout, you know, the last three and a half years. So that was our origin story. Then there are some small stories here that I like to share. One was when I was doing the people story. You remember that? When I was out in the field for months at a time, interviewing teachers, parents, students, sometimes elected officials, community activists, and documenting their story under the theme of every war has its casualties. The Ed War was no exception. And it was a costly venture, and was running out of money and couldn't complete the project the way I wanted it to. And there were, when I had to stop, there were still some very looming expenses that I would have to incur to finish the project. Joan called me, and she said, send me everything. And I had probably well over 100 hours of interview video. She said, I will transcribe everything until my hands fall off. This was while she was sick, people. And she knew that she was sick. And she knew how painful her condition was and what have you. But she reached out to me, as she has always done, to say, whatever you need, whenever you need it, I will be there. This is part of that Stand By Me theme that I mentioned just a moment ago. That was one of the most incredible gestures I've ever had in my life. Given where she was, given the fight that she was engaged in to try and save her own life, she reached out to me and she said, send me everything. I will transcribe them until my hands fall off. Let that soak in for a moment. That was an incredible, incredible experience. But that was a typical Joan Kramer move. I've got, I don't know how many stories that I could tell, and been trying to figure out which ones to tell and how much detail I should give, etc. and decided that that was one that I had to tell. Another story. Most recent, almost the most recent story, back to this year, February, the Black History Month. There was four shows, and they all dealt with the origins of a particular aspect of the Black experience here in America. And that first show, I dealt with the first Africans who were landed in the ship in Virginia, Jamestown, Virginia, and what happened to them, and they have to be considered the birth of Black America in America. When I finished that show, she, as she has done so many times, she was on Messenger, and she was so excited, and she kept saying, "You have to turn this into a book, the four shows that you're going to do. You have to." She was almost, she was giddy on the one hand, but she was also very adamant on the other hand. "You have to tell the story. Only you can tell the story. And I will, along with Joe, edit and type it and get it in manuscript form because you have to write the book." Now, again, this was just a few months ago. And you know, if you know Joan, where she was back in March with her condition, she wanted me to turn this into a book, and she wanted to be a part of it. That was one of the most important things that she thought she could do, was to be a part of this and to encourage me to do it. When I got it, I have a smile on my face now. When I was reading it, I had a huge smile at the time. I wrote her back, and I told her that Joe and I had already been working on this, and we knew that she would be the knight at the table, editing and typing, and even Deborah, whom I hadn't told about it, but I knew that she would be there too when the time came. And then I went on to tell Joan that each episode was going to be not only a chapter in the book, but the book was going to be the book supporting a curriculum that I had been working on, African and African American studies curriculum from pre-K to 12th grade, and that the episode that she was so enthused about and the other three that were going to follow, I was using this opportunity to see how to tell the story and how the story resonated with others. And she was even more giddy over learning that it was already in the works, and that her enthusiasm was going to be hopefully turned into reality, and that she would be a part of it. And she wanted to know, when were we going to get started? And the operative word was "we," followed by "when." And I told her this was March. I told her that hopefully, could get started after Joe was finished teaching for the year. That would be in late June And again, she was thrilled that we were going to do this project that she felt was the most important thing that we could do. Now, again, I want to stop for a second and think about this. This was just first week in March, a little over 3 months ago. Her condition was critical. She wanted to be involved in this project. She wanted to support me, the project, and it was just, it made me cry almost. Because again, I knew her condition. And I knew the odds were not in our favor. But she, I mean, I'm saying the same thing over and over again. And you'd have to be present to feel what I'm feeling and understand what I'm trying to say. Given the context, she was so excited, exuberant about this. She loved the first show, the second show, the third show, the fourth show, that whatever it took from her to be able to be part of it, to contribute, she was all in. Is that not amazing from an amazing person? You tell me. Those of you who knew her, who worked with her, friends with her, you knew her as the amazing person that I had come to know. But even so, wasn't that even more amazing that given the context, she was saying, I got your back. I stand by you as always. And that's something else she would always say too. She would always say, always. That she would always be there for me in the show, but for me. And damn, I miss her so much. Let me tell you another story. And this, Joe, whom, again, if you come to the War Report, either on our Facebook page or the show, you know who Joe Lieb is. Joe and Joan, they knew each other way before I met either one of them. And they were the best of friends. And I'm saying this like in the past. When they would go to the National Convention for NEAAFT, they would always room together. They'd always plan their trips together. And they were so thrilled that they both liked the same guy in terms of what he was doing and the messages that he was putting out in this forum called The War Report. Joe joined us the beginning of our, the end of our first year. I think it was January 2015 when she joined. The next month was February, which marked the end of our first year. And it was like a team made in heaven. And I'm not religious, so that's just an expression. But here was the three of us. Deb had, I won't say moved on, but she had started some other enterprises. But she was always that cheer that if it was empty, she was still there. So here we were, the three of us who were doing the show, and Deb being over in the ready whenever you need me position. It was so incredible to have these ladies in my corner. We have another caller. Linda, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm back. So I'm listening to everything that you're saying. And now that beautiful song that I love, Stand By Me, will be my song as well to honor Joan. I also heard that she said, send me everything. I'll transcribe everything until my hands fall off. That was Joan, always giving, always giving. So I just want to make sure that you write that book to honor her memory. So I'm asking you, please write the book. And if you need another typist, I'm here for you. And
I tell you what, if you give us your contact information, we may definitely call on you.
Sure.
And while you're here, Linda, I'll say something that I wasn't going to say because you called back. I'm going to work on that project, that's for sure. But I'm now on another project. Joan knows about the project. But if I can pull off this new project the way that I want to, Joan will get a library named after her.
Yes.
And it will.
Yes, I'll help you with that.
Last
years.
Okay. Joe, you haven't heard of it either. I was going to tell you about it later. I'm still working on it. Been working on the idea and how what it's going to be ever since Wednesday morning. But
cool.
If I can pull this off, and if this will be my last project, Joan will be prominently remembered by a large community forever. We've got another caller. Can you hang on, Linda?
Thank you.
And caller, are you still there?
The caller is Joe Leap.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Hey, I know you heard everything.
Yeah, I did. I had to call in. I had to call in because one of the things that Joan would want me to be saying right now is that the big elephant in the room here is cancer. And the most important thing that you can do is to get your checkups. Women, men, get your checkups. She was at me to get mine, and last August I went and I got mine, and they didn't find cancer, but they did find 3 ulcers that could have turned into cancer, and my father did die of esophageal cancer. So I am giving this message out there to our listeners. Get your checkups. Get your checkups and get them soon.
That was one of her last messages, one of her posts where she implored everyone to take the best care of themselves as they possibly could and to put that first among all others. Take care of other people, that's fine, but take care of yourself and take care of your health and be diligent about it. And that's the message that she left for all of us.
Yes.
That's her. That's you. I said the 3 of you, you, Joan, and Deborah, you guys are so much alike. At least as it relates to your relationship with me, that you almost sound alike when you're 3,000 miles apart. So, folks, I will not say much more about the project that I just mentioned in terms of the library. I'm working on it, and if it's the last thing that I do, it will be the last thing that I do. Our time is up, and made it through the show. I had no idea whether or not I was going to be able to do this. But I said, ever since Joe let me know that Joan had passed, I think she and I both have been shedding tears every day. We love Joan. To say that we're going to miss her is an understatement. But to also say that she will always be with us is not an overstatement. And as you already know, if you know me, I'm not a religious person, but I truly, truly believe in this case, Joan will always be with us, with me. And so I can go on, but my time is up. Thanks to everyone who called. And Linda, if you will either get in touch with myself or with Joe Lieb and give us your contact information, we will probably call on you when we need that help. So thanks, everyone.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.